Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. We have a lovely guest joining us for today's episode. Amelia Vogler is joining us, and Amelia is an integrative health coach. She's trained at Duke University with a master's from NC State, and she's one of the few practitioners worldwide to hold the specialist in energy medicine credential. Her work focuses on supporting individuals through the surgical process using a comprehensive, holistic approach. She combines medical intuition, somatic trauma healing, advanced energy medicine, and spiritual coaching to guide deep, lasting healing. Amelia helps clients reconnect with themselves, especially in times when body and soul feel misaligned. Her mission is to support people in finding calm, wholeness, and a true sense of belonging in their lives. Welcome to the show, Amelia.
Deanna, hello. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for having me.
Very excited to have you here. So I do this with everybody because I'm curious to understand what moved you into this line of work? Like, what was the jump off point? Like, what shifted you into doing this?
Okay, so I promise we're going to start in early life, but I will not take the whole 45 minutes. So don't worry. But this is a long time story. You know, this is one of those stories that started really when I was born into this embodiment. So I came in with seeing energy, sensing energy, feeling energy. So one of those really difficult children to probably raise because of, you know, she's sensitive, you know, one of those. And also, my father's family has a funeral home that's been in the family for 280 years. Wow. And so I would go to the funeral home as a little kid and roller skate because it's huge and has wide doors. Why not? And, you know, I would pick up things as a sensitive little girl. And I do remember, you know, Dad would say, don't go into that room. And I would go into that room and definitely remember a light floating above one of the gentlemen laying in his casket. And really, as a little kid, I realized somehow that that person laying there did not have the same light in their face, in their skin. Their eyes were closed, but I knew, like, they were missing that. And so early in my life, the questions that I was thinking about was, what is that light? How do we stay close to it? How do we nurture it? And then fast forward, you know, all these years of just doing life, being a sensitive child, I kind of shut all that stuff down because you, Amelia, you're too sensitive. Okay, well, I'll learn to shut that down. Well, let me do real life. And I was an engineer for a while, and I did technical education for a while in corporate America. And then I got migraine headaches, bad ones, that would either send me to the hospital. And later I found an energy person, one of these gifted practitioners who worked with a substrate and a wisdom called light. And she held my feet, grounded me, and all those gifts came back.
Wow.
So, you know, it was the alchemy of living gifts, shutting them down, opening them up, and then somehow I had to get out of corporate America and follow the light that is in me. And that's the beginning of this story of how I got into this work.
So when you were younger, was your family religious? Were you, you know, raised in that type of environment? What did they believe? What did you believe about, I guess, you know, when it comes to spirituality?
So that is such a cool question. It's a bigger question than I think, it's a huge question. But I was raised in the Moravian faith. And a lot of people, it's a Protestant religion.
Okay.
And, globally, the minority is people who identify with light skin, like I have light skin. So there's a very diverse group of Moravians all around the world. And we came to America in the early 1600s seeking religious freedom. So we were immigrants here and, kind of ran off of our original lands in Europe, seeking religious freedom. And I grew up in a small town in Winston-Salem, and the Moravian village there was named Salem after Shalom, which meant the city of peace.
Wow.
And my father's family, 280 plus years ago, were the furniture makers that came down on the covered wagons. And when someone died in the community, they would call the furniture makers to make the caskets. And so that's how the funeral story kind of was birthed in our lineage, in our ancestry. So I mention that because our spiritual work, I think, as Moravians in the community, was about helping people through the threshold. Like not just through the threshold. Funeral directing a long time ago had a different, it was almost like hospice is now, where we would sit with the family. There was more, we didn't have hospice then. So
Right.
that was the role of the funeral director, to really doula the family through these hard times. And so I think that my spiritual inheritance and my occupational inheritance in this energy work, they were always closely related. And
Wow.
I love the Moravian Church, full of beautiful rituals, candlelight teas, singing, community arts, food. We have very special recipes, wonderful ceremony, beautiful hymns that are very earth-based. So that orientation in a Protestant religion actually set me up in this incredibly alive curiosity about what it means to take care of each other in and through the God of us.
Wow, that's incredible. I love that. I had no idea, but I think, like you said, what a wonderful connection to have through your family lineage. And unbeknownst to you, right? Like what was going to put you on this path and how there's this thread that connects you. I love that. Wow. So when you okay, so when you were having your migraines and you found yourself with an energy healer, what did it feel like to have that alleviated? What were those experiences like? Because I know people, I would, okay, this is probably just my take, but energy healing, energy medicine, Reiki has become really like mainstream, which in a way that's really helpful, but at the same time, people are still really skeptical of whether or not it's effective, what they're supposed to experience. Are they supposed to have some sort of awakening, illumination? Like, what was it for you?
So for me, I want to reiterate that I was coming from engineering. And so there was a part of me that was very skeptical, even though there was more of me that was really destined to remember this light part of myself. I think the task of growing up in the modern world has a little bit of amnesia about how it is we come to remember who we are. And in the hurried pace and all the ways of connected disconnection that we show up in, it's for me that first session on the table was an incredible homecoming of gifts, of perspective. I suddenly remembered those questions about what is the light? Where does it go? Where did it come from? How do we stay close to it? Like this confluence of home self just started really manifesting itself in an important way. The migraines. Okay, so what I noticed in that first session was, I think there's something I need here. And I couldn't put my finger on it. The woman who was first a practitioner, then a mentor, now a friend, dear friend, soul friend, she was a nurse for a really long time. So she was very technical. She knew the physical body, and she could speak to the engineering part of me that said, okay, well, you have these systems in you, and they're made of light, and they work alongside your organ systems, and they also speak the language of stress. So, have you ever felt so angry you want to explode? Well, yeah, I know that feeling. Or so sad you feel like a weighted, heavy, wet wool blankets on top. Yeah, I've had, really speaking to me in the language of energy in very real world ways. So I kept going back to her because every session it felt like another layer of life that I had put on, like a heavy coat or another piece of clothing. Was I was just beginning to shed them. And about 6 months in, I noticed that I hadn't had one of those headaches. And then, so that data made me really curious because they would come quarterly typically and be so bad I'd end up in the hospital. And 6 months, I was like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. A year later, I didn't have them. 2 years later, I didn't have them. 3 years later, I didn't have them. And so that was a complete healing, like a complete physical healing, shedding all those layers. But in the meantime, I was cultivating something probably more important, which was a real sense of integrity in myself, like getting back to who I really was, this really sensitive light person.
Yes, definitely. And so from there, you transitioned into the line of work that you're essentially doing right now. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was a leap.
I can imagine.
That was a leap. That was a time. So I was working in corporate America. I was really successful, like flying on the private jet.
Wow.
You know, that, well, successful in air quotes for those listening. The golden handcuffs is what I call it, because I was really comfortable. And I had great relationships, and I was going to cool parties and flying to, companies, and then flying home to feed my dog that night. I mean, it was just like a dream. And I was so unsatisfied inside. And the light of me was like pushing me into something different. And the confluence of that push, this depression, this dullness, and then Sally, that's my mentor practitioner, she said to me, that squirrel, she said to me, Amelia, I'm going to stop treating you until you go take a class in energy medicine. And I was like, no, oh, come on. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this work. I want you to help me so that I can be successful in my cushy little job, and then I can come and feel better. Well, 17 years later, that's when I started my practice. And I did walk out of that company, and I did it after a doctor came into my life. Because I had said to her, well, I'm just not that happy at my work. And she said, Amelia, I have known you for a long time. I'm going to write you 10 days of short-term medical leave to go pray about where you need to be, because I can't tell you to quit your job. But I think there's something here. She said, "Don't go back to your office. I'll handle the rest." And she did. She gave me 10 days of short-term medical leave. And at the end of that, I put my notice in.
I want to ask you what that inner push felt like for you.
I might cry.
Oh.
It was terrifying. And it was terrifying. It was like kind and loving in a way that's the part that makes me cry, the not the terrifying part. But, it was kind of like my whole life just got put, my future, what it felt like, got put right up in front of my face. And I suppose it was like that little girl in me saying, "What is that light that guy in that casket didn't have? You're not close to that. You might as well be in there."
I see.
It was that. It was that kind of the weaving of all of those parts that said, "I think your destiny is not in a corporate jet." And I also, being practical and good at what I was doing, I said, "Okay, well, look, Amelia, if you don't make it in the energy stuff, just go back and do what you're doing now. They'll hire you back or you'll find another job." But there was a period when this was another just gift from God or spirit or whatever we want to call the God of a thousand names, was that Sally's office was 2 miles from the back gate of my corporate office. And so, as I was training in energy medicine, she let me rent her room 2 or 3 days a week so that I could start seeing clients right after work
Wow.
and on the weekends. And it was right there. And so, this is another kind of cute story, but when I was in corporate, my boss knew I was taking these classes because I would come back. It was a close community. And I would say, "You are not going to believe what I learned over the weekend. If you have a knee ache, arm ache, headache, back ache, any kind of ache, heartache, come see me during lunch because I've got some techniques I need to practice." And I became known at the company as this lady in Building J that, if you're not feeling great, go see her. And my boss had chronic back pain, and he would call me in his office to see if I could help him. So it was like this slow, natural, scary, different. It was all there to help me walk out that day.
Definitely. It seems like it was what we would call like a bunch of synchronicities to show you that, yes, indeed, this is like your destiny. You know, this is the right direction for you to go in.
Yeah, I was really pushed and really guided and really hard-headed. I am very hard-headed. I am a Taurus. I am very like clear and measured and practical, but when I feel like my river's moving in one direction, I follow it. Darn it.
So, what brought you to assisting people who are about to have surgery? Because I believe that's part of your work, correct?
Yeah, this is probably the most magical part of my practice. And it's just recently that I've started talking or sharing more publicly about it.
Okay.
So I think first the setup was Sally, who, being a nurse, my introduction to energy medicine was very clinical. So that was a gift from God. Sally's one of those incredible, she was labor and delivery, she was oncology, she was med surg. So every client I had, we would check out the anatomy. She would show me how to go and feel it with my hands intuitively, how to access it, how to work with tissues, how to. So I got this crash course in energetic anatomy and the mapping between the body and the esoteric wisdoms very, very, very early in my career. And then I went to go and get certified in healing touch, which was intuited by a nurse, where Reiki comes from the Japanese spiritual tradition, healing touch comes from the nursing tradition. So there again, I was sort of finding my way through techniques of anesthetic removal, pain management, broken bones, wound healing, headache, all these very clinical applications of energy medicine, which also help the spirit. And then being so technical and working in really big systems, all of these pieces sort of got put together. And there was a really, really important close colleague, contact, friend of mine early in life who had body dysmorphia, which is when you kind of look at yourself and you don't see yourself okay. And he liked to do surgeries, elective surgeries, to help him see himself better. And he would always ask me if I could help him through those surgeries. And I also had clients in corporate America who, oncology journeys that would end up in surgery, that would, have mastectomies or have spine surgeries or have tumors removed. And I was with them and with Sally, helping me understand the medicines and how to apply this. And, fast forward all these years, I developed a stronger sense of my medical intuition, started listening to the body in a different way. And again, it was just the river moving me in the direction of surgical support while also learning things about trauma therapy and somatic therapies and different ways to hold someone through big journeys. I specialize in a system called the HARA, which is soul, how we embody, and all that. I mean, that's a ton of information, but a surgery is basically a vision quest where we meet a moment in our life and then we fall asleep under anesthesia and we wake up different, which is an incredible soul story to doula. It is almost like a small death, which takes us into the ancestral piece. It's like, wait a minute. I think every single thing that I know is helping me hold this really big process.
Wow, that's incredible. So, when it comes to surgery, like you said, your friend was having elective surgery. How are you assisting the person prior to having that surgery exactly?
Yeah, so it's okay. So the support in is prior to, it's during, and it's after. So it's the whole process. But before, it depends on who, what the needs are of the person. So I just spoke to someone today who she's terrified that she's not going to make it because of the risks. So she and I maybe, depending on what she feels comfortable with, we may start with some HARA-based sessions to help her come back into alignment with the inner wisdom that she and her body are partnered as one, like soul and body are together in this, and that there's a deep internal wisdom that she can ground into before she goes, that she is one with self and has agency and that is strong and that has a life path and a destiny path. We do any type of grounding support that's needed energetically to help, like with ancestral stories or to just help open the flow of the body. There's a really cool session in the pre-surgical sort of suite of sessions that is where the client and I will define together all of the micro intentions that will. There's sort of like set points in surgery. I study the surgeries. I know what's going to happen. I watch them on YouTube. And then we go together at the level of comfort of the client and we define this is the perfect outcome for this piece of the surgery. This is the perfect outcome for this. So it's not just like I'm going to be able to walk again. It's like this tissue is going to get out of the way. We will not be nicking this nerve, but we say in the positive, you know, this mesh will be integrated with my bone. This shunt will be perfectly placed between in the fourth ventricle of the brain. You know, so we get really, really specific. So that's a session. And then another session we do is we define your very favorite place. And when you're going under anesthesia, we meet there. And that's where your soul and my soul and spirit can speak to each other. And that is kind of the doorway that helps me do the medical intuition piece.
Wow. So question for you. During
Sure,
this
sure.
process, are you working with also that person's, let's say, spiritual team to deduce, information or to get information about like the upcoming surgery and all that information?
Yeah, I think that comes out naturally in those sessions. You know, I think probably like yourself and your listeners, when we come into a session, you just give everything. You listen to everything that's there. So if it's a guide, this particular woman this morning had a hummingbird fly up into her window, looked at her and flew away. I mean, we take that as being in an integrated universe in a oneness template where nothing escapes us as a gift or information to help us along the way. And so, you know, in those sessions, we're listening to everything.
Yeah. And I can imagine that for people, I mean, surgery is really scary no matter what. Even,
Scary.
I'm going to say, even dental surgery, which is to me like
Oh, yeah.
horrific. It's so scary because when, especially when you go under, we do get to hear about all the horrible risks, things that could go wrong. And so that kind of sets you up for a monumental feeling of anxiety, prior to, and it's like terrorizes your mind. So I feel like
Yeah.
this almost is, it's like a, I don't know, like a soul partner to help you because it can be debilitating, to
Yes.
think about it beforehand.
I see that. And you know, during surgery day, I meet you there. First, I start 4 hours, 3 or 4 hours before your surgery and matrix your entire team. Everybody you walk in to see at the hospital knows you energetically already. They know all of your perfect outcomes. They know exactly what's going to happen from every aid to every robot to every surgeon to every post-op nurse, pre-op nurse, recovery nurse. They have all been contacted ahead of time. And my clients feel it. And then I'll meet you in pre-op. Either by distance or I will fly there and be with you. And we'll ground, work with your HARA, work with the medications. Anything we do in person, we do also over distance. So all the medication is harmonized to you. Then we go to your favorite places. They're putting you to sleep and boom. Now the surgery support really starts because that's where I talk to all your tissues. And I hold, and we work with the organs, and we're one step ahead, if not right in step with the surgical team. And
Wow.
we work every, and we're together, you know, your soul and my and me, we can have a conversation. So that fear of being completely alone and vulnerable and under the care of an anesthesiologist, well, we're more than our physical body, so the part of you that's more is actually engaged in the process. So you are not alone there. And that, I think, more than any of the technical stuff is just, I hear that that is the primary relief that helps people relax into this transformative experience.
Do you ever, when you have a client, is there a lot of skepticism at the beginning? Do you have a feeling of
Well,
that?
I have to say, the people who seek me out are pretty on board with what I do. But more and more, Deanna, for example, next Monday, this coming Monday, I'm going to meet with a surgeon out in California because he heard about me, reached out, and is very curious about what I do and the outcomes. And I'll say it straight. We're not going to hide anything because the wholeness of us is being revealed right now. And then the following Monday, I'm meeting with an entire group of surgeons in a hospital in Florida to present this type of support. So there's curiosity about what else is possible. And, a surgeon just like myself, but probably even more so, they want the perfect outcome too. And I think that they see that when their patient, however they do it, supported by angels, have a Reiki person in the mix, who I don't care as long as they're not breathing in my OR. If it's going to help you have a perfect outcome, you keep all those spirit guides in there with you. So, they trust their part of the surgery. And I think that they're specialists enough to know that we're bigger than just a body. And let's get somebody on the team that can hold the rest of it.
I think if anything, there certainly is a lot of hope for medicine, and for the way that healthcare is moving, hopefully in a different direction in this upcoming decade. I'll put it that way because I
Yeah.
know we're very slow to change as humans, but that makes me feel very hopeful for having surgeons who are that open-minded
Yeah.
enough to even listen.
Yeah. Well, and the cool thing is there are ways to introduce this work that turn down the woo factor. There are ways that we can language and I can help empower my clients. We're not lying by any means, but when we say, along with us, I would really like to have my spiritual support with me in the patient bill of rights of any surgical hospital, in your patient bill of rights, you have the right to your spiritual support. So we can speak to the paperwork and say, this is really important to me. My spiritual life is very important to me. My spirit is important to me. And there's somebody that I would like to include on the team. And if I'm with them in person, no hospital ever minds if you have one person in the pre-op with you. It's usually your partner and they're carrying the bag of your clothes, but it could be me. And I could be holding your feet and doing some Reiki or working with some healing touch methods or working with the medications energetically, just sitting next to you smiling. They would never know that we've got a whole thing happening here. And if I'm in person, I typically ask my client if they would arrange for the surgeons to please get me as soon as they go into PACU, which is the post anesthesia care unit. And not a lot of people request that. Some of them have said no, but most of them have said yes. And that's when I help you come out of anesthesia with my skills, while the nurses are helping you get out of anesthesia with their skills.
Do you ever dream of these patients before like their surgery? Like, do you ever have any of those types of dream encounters with their soul, having conversations with their team, anything to that extent?
So I think that because I'm so intimately connected with my clients before we start, I mean, there's a series, excuse me. So I kind of offer a buffet of services around surgical support because some people have their own spirit team and they just are like, I just want you surgery day. I got it post-op. I got it pre-op. And I'll say, well, I really need this one session where we figure out your favorite place and we get clear. And the intention piece is really good, but some people don't want to know their surgery that intimately. All good. But I typically know my clients so intimately, their fears, their concerns, their perfect outcomes, their temperament, their spirit guides. They don't show up in my dreams, but they show up in my life, in my waking, living, dedicated space that I'm holding for them. And I'm typically on call with them and for them before that surgery because they're good, they're good, they're good. And then there's four letter words and a text that says, "Can you jump on Zoom? I really just want to talk this through one more time." Sure, you got it. Absolutely. That's why I'm here.
So, if there's somebody who's listening who's very interested in learning about this, but they feel very intimidated by all of the medical knowledge they are going to need to acquire in advance, like, could you speak to that a little bit? Because it seems like, again, you were coming from an engineering background, and this is like a major life shift, and there's so much to learn. And let's say there's somebody who's a little bit older, who feels like, well, God, I would love, to this feels like a calling, but I don't know, like, how I'm even going to start to learn, like, I don't know, human anatomy, something like,
Oh,
you know what I mean?
yeah, sure. So, first, do you think that this was a confluence of a lot of gifts over a long period of time? So I would first say, try not to feel like there's a big rush to get through everything and to trust that your gifts are going to sustain you in whatever way your clients need you to during a surgical process. So, like, trust your story. Trust your gifts because, some of us don't like blood and guts and gore and being in an intestine. I think it's super cool. So, that alignment with like who you are, that's gonna count. Yes, you need definitely anatomy classes and subtle anatomy classes. Read books like your The Body Speaks. It's a Shapiro book. Your body speaks your mind. I think it's that. I have it right over here, but I'll get you the name and you can put it in the notes. But that's a great book. It's an older book, but it helps define the spiritual anatomies. Louise Hay has some great little affirmations that map the subtle anatomy. On my newsletter or on my, yeah, if you sign up for my newsletter, I have a body map that maps most of the main anatomies. That's like a freebie. You can sign up and then unsubscribe if you want that. Work on your medical intuition, like feel your way through the body. Once you know them, like feel them, like what does that liver feel like? Like we're not just in mice, And then there's the hara piece, which is the soul piece. I think that's really important because that's a trauma system. So I teach that. Welcome to come in and join me anytime. Then there's, basically, like I think the Healing Touch program is wonderful because it is nursing and more medically oriented. That's a four. I think I 4-year program. Maybe they're doing it faster now, but you have to take a year. It used to be, I don't want to speak to their curriculum now, but it used to be that you had to take 100 hours of practice. You do some testing. I mean, it's a great program. So I hope I haven't scared them. I hope I haven't scared you. Just stay with your gifts. Reiki is excellent.
Yes, definitely. And I wanted to also ask you about medical intuition.
Sure.
I can only speak for people who are here in the United States, but our healthcare system is not the best. And a lot of people do not have access, right, to basic health needs. It's too unaffordable for them. So if people want to learn how to start really getting in touch with their bodies, like how to manage their health better from more of an energetic standpoint, what would kind of like be the starting point? Because I think, similar to other people, If you're not a nurse, if you don't have a medical
Yeah.
background, a lot of people feel like, okay, I need to have that first before I can even begin to do any sort of I don't know, looking at the body in a different way, any kind of medical healing, or even to even have medical intuition. People feel like, okay, I need to have a medical degree first before I can even have that intuition.
Okay, that's such a cool question. So, the first thing, I guess this is something just to know about me. I like a lead with my ethics. And so, I really want folks to, in whatever way that they have access to, I am a proponent of, seeking out Western medicine when we need it and seeking out traditional Western diagnostics when indicated. So, I'm not your person to tell you to feel your breast and see energetically if there's something there. Like routine mammogram, the ARIA, I don't know if you know about that, but it's a tear test that you can get that screens for a protein that often shows up for breast cancer. It's much less expensive than a mammogram. It's supposed to be used with it, but if you can't afford it, it's a good next step and it has great research. So I would seek out first in the Western sphere research what what's showing up for you. This is not Dr. Google. This is not ChatGPT. This is kind of asking the questions like, what is, like I have pain underneath my right rib, that's my liver. Like, what have I been, if I've been eating a lot of, what have I been eating? What have I been dreaming? What have I been speaking? Yes, I'm going to go to an urgent care, get it checked out. But just start mapping for yourself, like, what works? When do you feel good? When do you not feel good? Where's inflammation in the body? Where's there not? Like, just becoming kind of like, a detective of your own health, answering the question, when do I feel great and when do I not? And trying to find different themes and being curious alongside your Western inquiry. I think it's a great place to start.
Fantastic. I think people would love to hear that because people feel very lost when it comes
Yeah.
to, like you said, there's traditional medicine. Yes, of course, but even if we just want to improve our health, you
Yeah.
know.
And there's so many other great modalities out there too. Like, acupuncture comes from traditional Chinese medicine. It is a very old medicine. So try to seek out an MD of acupuncture, not just an acupuncturist, but if if you're looking for other ways to get at that medical perspective, seek out, maybe a naturopathic doctor, which is, naturopathy is one of our oldest medicines in the entire world that's based in a totally different orientation of medicine, but they are trained and have scope of practice to help guide you in some of these questions that you have that looks a lot different than going to primary care that's going to spend 25 minutes with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, Amelia, it has been great having you here. If people want to connect with you and find you, how do they find you?
Oh, thanks. So for the surgical work, energymedicineandsurgery.com. Pretty easy. And then my name, AmeliaVogler.com, just for, a private practice, mentoring. And then I have an institute where I teach through called, it's called Vogler Institute, named for my grandma on
That's
my dad's side.
fantastic. Thank you so much. It was so wonderful to have you here. I feel like I learned a lot, and I hope everybody else has really enjoyed this talk.
Thanks, Deanna. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.